He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Now that everyone knows what to say, let's try again. He's risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Brilliant. We'll have a song with those words later anyway, so that will remind us. But isn't it great to be together here on Easter Sunday? Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus. Great to see the room filled. Now, there was a man many, many years before Christ, many centuries before Christ, and he found himself with a fainting heart, and yet his faith did not fail. He was looking ahead. He had faith in the God of resurrection. And this is what he said. He was a man called Job, and we know him for his patience. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you know that the Easter message is true. You can say Christ is risen not from tradition, but because you know in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You say, Jesus is Lord. He's crucified for my sins. He's risen. And yet, just like Job, maybe your heart faints within you. Because Easter isn't like a magic wand to wave away all your troubles. And you know that there are difficult days to face ahead. Well, Job was like that. His heart was fainting within him. But he could say, I know that my Redeemer lives. And that changes everything. So various tunes were being played as we were coming in. One of them was, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. So Easter changes everything. And the risen Lord Jesus is the focus of our faith. We praise him. If you have a fainting heart this morning, there is good news. Jesus saves. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. So we're going to give him the glory by singing a traditional Easter hymn. We'll stand and sing together. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment, that's bright clothing, rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Let's stand and sing together. Please be seated. Let's bow our heads together in prayer on this Easter Sunday morning. Let's pray and praise our God in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our creator. You have set the pattern of our lives in so many ways, the rhythm of our heartbeat and of our breathing, the rhythm of day and night, the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night, the rhythm of the seasons. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have set a rhythm for our worship. And Sunday by Sunday, we remember that Christ is risen from the dead. And so today is very special. We thank you for the remembrance of Christ's resurrection. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that this was what the prophets had foretold. A king who would rule and reign forever, and whom not even death could conquer. But he conquered death. He had said to his disciples that he would rise on the third day. But they still didn't understand until he actually did it. Christ is risen from the dead, and our hope is not in vain. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can gather from so many different places and backgrounds. Thank you that you know our hearts. And Lord, you know that so often and for so many of us, we know Job's experience of a fainting heart. And resurrection for us is real, but our hearts are aching and we're still carrying burdens. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would, as it were, transport us in our minds and hearts to remember the greatest of discoveries that Easter Sunday morning, when they discovered the tomb was empty and then Jesus appeared to them and greeted them. He showed them his hands and his feet, crucified yet risen, conquering over death. So Heavenly Father, please stir our hearts this morning. Pray for the children amongst us. Lord, may the dawning of this day be a very special day for them. May there be a dawning of hope in their hearts. May they, as well as the oldest amongst us, be found trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can save. So give us ears to hear this morning. Bless this service, each one who is part of it, here in the building and also on the Zoom link as well. Let there be encouragement and strength for each one as we remember that Christ is risen from the dead. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here is a reading from Resurrection Sunday, Matthew 28, and the first 10 verses. And again, as we read these words, try and put yourself in the shoes of those first disciples. It's very interesting in the Gospels how the women played a very prominent role in witnessing and reporting the resurrection. In the culture in those days, the witness of a woman was not recognized in the same way as a man. That was the situation in their culture. But that didn't matter to the gospel writers. To God, the testimony of each person is equally valid. And that just shows the power of the gospel and how much God valued each of his disciples, both the men and the women. Matthew 28 and verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." It was quite a chaotic day, by all accounts, and we try and piece together the things that happened. But gradually, it dawned upon the disciples what had taken place. There was confusion at first, but in the end, they knew what had happened. Jesus had risen from the dead. It reads like a real narrative, not dressed up, not airbrushed, not made all neat and tidy, but exactly how it happened. And of course, that shows that we're reading historical documents here in the Gospels. Well, we're going to be thinking a little bit more, doing a bit of investigation in a few moments' time. But first, we have another song that we're going to sing together. And if any of the toddlers or the younger children are here, we've got instruments at the front. And if you want to come and make some noise, then you're very welcome. I've seen some people clapping along, that's absolutely fine. But the young children, if you want to play along with some instruments, come and grab something from the red box. We are going to make a joyful noise this morning. I'll give you a moment. So as I said, this song has the chorus of "Christ is risen, he is risen indeed." So what we said to each other at the start, we're going to be singing to each other now. I'll give them a moment. They're finding their instruments. I can see some of you older ones, you're very jealous that you can't do this, but what a privilege. So yeah, make sure you've got something that will make some noise to rattle along, jingle along to the song that we're going to sing together. Okay, have we all got something? Okay, well, I'll invite you as a congregation to stand together and we will sing this this hymn together. Brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. You made a joyful noise to praise our God, to praise our Saviour. So that is wonderful. Brilliant. Well done. Okay. Well, we are on the hunt for evidence this morning. I'll say something now and I'll remind you at the end. We have a book that we're giving away today. In fact, we've got three books that we're giving away today, mainly for the adults, but children, you can ask if you want something to read and we can find something too. But people ask, lots of people ask, you know, Christians make a big thing about Easter, but is it true? You know, have people looked into this? And the good news is people really have looked into it. Lawyers, legal minds have looked into it. And more than one. There's an older book called Who Moved the Stone, where someone set out to disprove the resurrection and ended up believing. There's another book, The Case for Christ. And again, someone set out to disprove the resurrection and ended up finding that the evidence all pointed to Christ. And he believed not only that, but he met Christ for himself. Now here's another legal mind who asks a lot of questions. He's looked into it. It's called Your Verdict on the Empty Tomb. So if it's a question for you, then be honest about it. So I'm not just going to bury this question. I'm going to investigate for myself. Or maybe you've got a friend and they're asking these questions and they're saying, it's all right for you, but what about me? Well, take one of these and read it yourself or pass it on to the person that needs it. We've got lots of these at the back. And there's another couple of books as well, How One Weekend Can Give You Everything You Ever Wanted. And this one, The Man on the Middle Cross. They're short books and they're written to help people asking questions of faith or wanting to share their faith with others. So if that would be of use to you, there's no cost. All I ask is a promise to read it or a promise to pass it on. Okay? That sounds fair. So these are at the back. Just take one if you can use one. That's just in case I forget to say at the end. I've said it now. So you're welcome to use those. But I'm going to need help, especially from the children this morning. So round the church, they're hidden some evidence bags. Don't worry, there's nothing grisly. It's all good. And in those evidence bags, there's a fact. Okay, there's a fact. It will be displayed for us, so we'll be able to see it. And there's something to read. So if you can read that for us, that's great. Or if you can find someone who can read it, that's brilliant too. So what we're going to do is, these are eggs here, we're going to crack them open. And again, they're not like eggs at home, so it won't be too messy. Good news for me, otherwise I'd be clearing it up. And they will tell us where to find the evidence. So that's how it works. The egg tells us where the evidence is, and then we can look inside that bag, as long as they haven't been hijacked or nicked without me noticing. So there we are. So I probably need a sort of a tallish volunteer to get the first one. So anyone can help me? Elizabeth, can you help me, please? Thank you. So if you come up and break this egg open, and it should say something on the back. Okay, brilliant.
Behind the piano.
Okay, so if you go looking behind the piano, we'll find our first piece of evidence. Okay, so there's something to share, so get that one out first. That's for you to share. Okay, and a fact.
Jesus died on a cross.
Oh, John, let's get the microphone. Be better, wouldn't it? There we go.
Jesus died on a cross.
That's our fact. So we'll put this up on the board, and we've got a reading as well. So would you be able to read that for us? Thank you.
And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation,
that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph.
Brilliant. Thank you. So give her a clap. Thank you. I need your help, and I appreciate that. So that's our first piece of evidence. Let's see if we can just... There we go. That's great. Jesus died on a cross. That might sound very, very simple, but that's an important part of the evidence. Jesus died on a cross. The Roman soldiers made sure of that. There was going to be no doubt about this. They very sadly had to do this many, many times. They were professional executioners. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? But that was their job. The Roman soldiers would not have let Jesus' body down from the cross without being certain that he was dead. So there's no mistake about that. They were experts in this terrible task. Jesus really was dead. No question about it. Okay. Second piece of evidence we're going to need to go searching. So who can help me? Max, can you help me? So, if you can open that one for us. Okay. Crack it open. You're very strong. There we go. Now that's my writing, isn't it? That says behind the flowers. Should we go looking? There's a couple of sets of flowers. Do you want to have a little look? I'll take that egg off you and we'll put those. So there's some flowers on that side and there's some flowers on that side. So can you see a bag there? I can't see one there. Should we see if it's behind the other ones? Should we have a little look? Let's have a look. Is there anything down here? Oh, have you found something?
Yeah.
Do you want to bring it over here? Bring it over here. Okay, so you need to open up that bag. What are you going to get first? And reach in and get that out. Brilliant. There we go. Okay. Right. Bit by bit. Okay, so what's our fact?
They saw where he was buried.
They saw where he was buried. Brilliant. Put that one up there for us. That's great. Okay, and there's a reading as well. Read that for us. Come out where everybody can see you. There we go.
And Joseph brought a little crown, and taking him down, wrapped him in the line.
That's it, in a linen shroud. Well done.
Shroud.
Yeah.
And laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of a rock. He rolled the stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary, and the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid.
Brilliant. Thank you, Max. Can we give him a round of applause? And that is for you. Thank you very much. Well done. So the evidence is mounting up. There were witnesses. They saw where he was buried. Notice that. There were the women who saw, and also Joseph of Arimathea. Quite a few Josephs in the Bible, wasn't there? But this is important. People saw where the tomb was. There was no mistake about it. Okay, so that's our second piece of evidence. Okay, who wants to help me with the next bit of evidence? Let's see. Oh, what's your name? Would you like to help? Oh, yeah. What's your name?
Archie,
do you want to come and help me? Let's take a big jump, that's it, can you manage? Well done. So, this one here, that's our next one. Can you break that open for us? Wow, look at that, so strong. Let's see, it's got a little... Now, this says sound desk, that is right at the back. Should we go and see if we can find something down there? Okay, pop those down there. Okay. So, can you see Lee right at the back on the sound desk? I think he should be able to help you. Should we go down the wall? I'll go with you, come on. We'll find it. It's down under there. There we go. Well, what have you got there? Have you found it? Right, let's take it up the front. Let's go. Don't trip. There we go. You managed. Don't trip on that step. It's been done before. Don't worry about me, I need the exercise. Here we are. Right. Let's see what we've got here. Do you want to open it up? Pull that out there. That's it. Yeah, you pull that out. Okay. Oh, look, do you want to grab that? That's for you. Okay. How's your reading? Can you read that for us? You have a go? Yeah? Have a go. Says, his tomb...
His tomb...
Was guarded...
Was guarded...
And sealed.
And sealed.
Brilliant, there we go. Do you want to put this up for me? Put it up there. Yeah. Now, do you think you could take this microphone to your mum? Do you think she could do the reading for us? Is that all right?
Yeah.
From your seat, it's okay. That's all right.
The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said, 'While he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, Archie. Oh, yeah, I'll have that back. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, yeah, the microphone as well. Brilliant. Almost forgot. Thank you, Archie. Well done. Okay. So the evidence is mounting up. His tomb was guarded and sealed. So there was this great stone, like this enormous stone. And I know some of you are very strong, but none of us would be able to move a stone like that. It was a great stone in front of the tomb. And there were soldiers to guard the tomb with their lives. So nothing could happen with this tomb because of that stone and because of the soldiers. It looked very, very secure. Let's see what happens next. Okay, so we've got a fourth piece of evidence. Who wants to help me? Oh, right at the back. Yeah, Patrick, yeah. You have to reach really high. I'm sure you can manage. I'll tell you what it is. It's this one right in the middle here. Okay, can you open that for us? Oh, look. It's a wide open. Well done. That says hymn books. Now, do you know where the hymn books are? No, we don't use them very much, do we? But they're on the bookcase. Should we go have a look? Yeah, let's go. Let's go have a look. Mind that step there. That's it. Okay. So the hymn books are over there. Can you see anything that looks like it might be one of those bags? Let's have a look. Yeah, should we grab it? You grab it. Okay. Let's take it up to the front then. Let's take it up to the front. Okay. Right, so let's open it up. So can you pull this out? There we go. Now hold that up and take this as well. That's for you. Brilliant. So let's see. Let's hold this. Can you hold that fact up for us? It says, on the third day... Oh, here we go, look.
On the third day, the... Tom was found empty.
On the third day, the tomb was found empty. Brilliant. Well done. Fantastic. And could you take this down to your mum to read for us? Is that all right? Okay. If you take that, you carry it down to your mum. She'll read it for us where she is. Thank you.
Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thank you, Patrick. Thank you, Mum, as well. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Give them a clap, everyone. Thank you. Wow. The evidence is mounting up. On the third day, the tomb was found empty. Now, remember, there was no mistake about the tomb. And this tomb had had a stone in front of it and it had soldiers. How on earth could this have happened? They knew it was the right tomb, but that stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. The clothes were still there. We'll think about that in a moment. Okay, so who's going to help me next? There's been some hands up for a long time. Oh, so many hands up. Will you help us, Rachel? Thank you. Listen, I've got loads of mini eggs, so if you don't get to help, you'll still get a pack. All right. Here we go. Right, so we're going down the column. So do you want to take this one for us? Okay, well done. You opened the egg. Can you read my writing? Yeah, so do you want to go and see if you can find something under the offering box for us? Thank you. Have a look. I tried to make it obvious, but not too obvious. None of them have gone walkabout, so they weren't that obvious, so that's good. Brilliant. Thank you, Rachel. Okay, so you know the drill by now. Okay, so if you read the facts out for us.
The grave's clothes were neatly folded.
Wow, grave clothes were neatly folded. Let's put that one up there. And is there a reading to show us about that? You need extra hands, don't you?
Then Simon came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself.
Brilliant, thank you. Great, thank you. Shall I take those from you? Thank you so much, Rachel, that's brilliant. Okay. Again, there are lots of details, and none of the details are insignificant. You see, the body hadn't been taken away because the grave clothes were still there. They weren't in a bundle either. They were neatly folded. It looked like the body had passed through those grave clothes. Now, we're used to being bound by the laws of physics. And those laws of physics come about because we live in an orderly universe. Your body and mine can't just pass through something. But Jesus' resurrection body was different. No longer bound by the laws of physics. Don't forget, they were his laws in the first place as the creator. And no longer bound by death. Those laws that we can't seem to defeat. But Jesus had overcome them. Resurrection body, and those grave clothes were neatly folded. Okay, got two more bits of evidence. Who's going to help us? Oh, right at the back. Tommy, can you help us? Yeah, can you come and help us? Oh, brilliant. Sorry, I've only got seven. I've got more than seven volunteers, so you guys are brilliant. Okay, do you want to open this egg for us with all your strength? Well done, you've opened it up. Okay, I really should have typed these rather than handwriting. It says window ledge. Can you see a window anywhere? Can you see a window anywhere? Over there. Should we go have a look? You just pop those bits of egg on there. They should stick. There we go. Great, thank you. Right, let's have a look. So the musicians are sat here, Ben and Jude. Can you see anything there? Oh, have you found something? Aha, bring it back. Bring it back for us. Oh, don't forget that bit of evidence. That's very important. Okay, right. So should we get this out? Let's have a look. Yeah, let's pull this out. Oh, well done. Yeah, that's it. That's it, and this one as well. Okay. Can you read this for us? Says the rulers.
The rulers.
Could not. Explain it. Wow, fantastic. Do you think, let me see, tell you what, shall I read this for you? It says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. When they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." What happened with the soldiers? It's amazing, isn't it? Thank you so much. There we go. And here is, this is yours. Take away. Right, brilliant. Should we give Tommy a clap? There we go. The rulers could not explain it. You see, the disciples, they had no courage to go and take Jesus' body. There was no reason why they would do that. They were afraid. They were scattered. They couldn't have taken on the guard. They couldn't have rolled that stone away. And they would never die for a lie. And you know, some of Jesus' disciples had to lay down their lives because they wouldn't deny the truth of the resurrection. The disciples would never have stolen the body. And indeed, that's not what happened. Matthew makes that very clear. It was just a story that was circulated. The leader's explanation doesn't make sense. They knew their version couldn't stand up. It didn't make sense. They couldn't face reality. You know, why didn't the rulers prosecute the disciples for stealing the body? Because it would have been an offence. They didn't do that because they knew they'd just made the story up. The disciples hadn't stolen the body at all. That's just what the leaders said. And why weren't the guards put on trial? Again, because it was a cover-up. The leaders couldn't face the truth that Christ had risen. So, one more bit of evidence. Who's going to help us with the last one? Let's see. Oh, there's been a hand that's gone up. There's lots of hands gone up. Hannah, can you help us? Can you help us? Here we go. Can you get this last egg up here? Black and yellow one. I've seen a black and yellow egg before. Oh, you've broken it. Well done. You've opened it up. Okay, so this says you might find something behind this board. Should we see if there's something behind the board? Do you want to have a look for us? You want to have a look? Oh, you found one. Brilliant. Bring it round. Bring it round. That's it. Okay, can you pull that out for us? Okay. Yeah, you found that one. That's great. Now, do you think you could ask your dad to read these out for us if you take this back? Have you got enough hands? Shall I tell you what? I'll bring the microphone. Here we go.
The disciples were confused. And the reading is Luke 24. Moreover, some women of her company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but him they did not see.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Shall we give Hannah a clap? Thank you. Okay. So the evidence is mounting up, but like I said, it was a confusing day. The disciples were not expecting this. And if you've read the Gospels, you'd be thinking, why weren't you expecting it? Because Jesus had told them, but they weren't expecting it. They didn't understand. They were shattered and confused. So, what is the explanation? Well, here is the explanation. Let's turn these around. Here is the explanation that stands up to the facts. Here is the explanation the Bible gives. Here is the explanation that's transformed the lives of millions upon millions of Christians who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Shall we read the solution, the answer together? He is risen. He is risen indeed. So that's the facts of Easter. But what does this mean for you and me today? See, the Bible isn't just about facts about the past to believe. The Bible is about you and me following the living God today. So what does this mean for you and me today? What does the resurrection show us? Well, again, let me give a little plug for this free book. You'll find questions like this, very like this, in this book. But we're going to explore this for a few moments today. What does the resurrection show us? Well, it shows us this. It shows that Jesus is God. It's amazing. Jesus was a real man, a real human being, just like every one of us. He knows exactly what your experience is like. He walked dusty streets. He got tired. He got hungry. He was a real man. And he came in such a way that everyone could just sort of have their own opinion about him. People could despise and reject him if they wanted to. And yet the resurrection shows us that Jesus is God. You know, there are so many things in our lives, things that go wrong. We get sick. And things go wrong, or there's big things in the world, and we can see I'm not in control. You know, I've got a little zapper here that moves on the slides. It normally works, although Lee's been doing it for me. And you might have a remote control at home, and you change the TV channels, and you can feel like I'm in control. I can press this button to make things happen, but we can't do that for our lives. We're not in control. But Jesus is different. He said that he would die. He said that he would rise again. None of us could do that. We could, if we said it, it would be a foolish thing to say, and we couldn't bring it about. But Jesus can. It says he was raised from the dead by God's power. Jesus is different. Jesus is God. That's what the resurrection shows us. Secondly, this means that Jesus is judge. Did you realize that? Anyone here ever say, "That's not fair"? Anyone here ever say that? Yeah, we do say that quite a lot, don't we? We do say it. And that's because we think, I should be the judge of what happens. I should be the judge of what's right and wrong. What she did wasn't right. What he said wasn't right. I'm the judge. Okay, we act like that, don't we? But the resurrection shows that Jesus is the judge. He is the one. And you know this? Every single one of us will stand before Jesus and he will judge our lives. That sounds like a scary thought. And it would be if we stood before him with all of our sins and with all that we've done wrong. But Jesus is also the Saviour. So we can look to the one who is the judge of all, whose God has raised him from the dead. He's proved it. But we can also look to him as Saviour. Jesus is the judge. What else does the resurrection mean? The resurrection means that forgiveness is available. Now, this is a wonderful thing. Have you ever felt in your heart, you think, I know that I've done something wrong. I know that I've said something wrong. Maybe you've hurt a friend with something that you've said. And you think, how on earth can I make this right? And maybe you've gone to your friend and you've said sorry. And you tried to mend it. But the Bible says that God is offended by the way that we've lived. By the way that we've said, I'm going to be God of my life. I'm going to be judge of my life. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And we shut God out in our pride, in our selfishness. That's a big problem. We need God's forgiveness. And we can't earn it. But the Bible shows that God is willing to pay the price for our sins by sending his Son. And he's raised him from the dead to show that his death was payment for our sins. He gave his Son as a sacrifice so that you and I could know him, could have our sins forgiven, and could be with him forever. The resurrection shows that forgiveness is available. The Bible says that Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And the resurrection gives meaning to life. I remember years ago seeing a whole set of interviews of people. They'd been stopped in the street and they were just giving their opinion on what they thought who God is or what life is all about. And one young lady just said, sort of quite sadly, she just said, well, I think maybe God's up there in heaven and he's just laughing at us in all of our misery and all of our difficulties. Well, the Bible says that God sometimes laughs at foolish rulers who think that they're more powerful than they really are. But the Bible says God is so sympathetic to the needs of people that call upon him. He cares. The Bible shows that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He was so sad that the people didn't know him and love him. God is not distant. He's come into this world. He's experienced the very worst of this world so that we could know the joys of his love and his forgiveness and his peace. The resurrection gives meaning to life. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus also said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So fifthly and finally, the resurrection means this. It gives hope in the face of death. Every single one of us have to reckon with this. We don't know how many days we have. None of us do. But the resurrection gives hope in the face of death. I've had friends in the past who've said, well, you know, I'll believe if someone comes back to tell us. Well, Jesus has come back from the grave to tell us. Someone has done that. It's the Lord Jesus. He gives hope in the face of death. Because he is risen, we can trust and know that we too will experience eternal life with God. The Bible says that everyone will be raised from their grave at the last day, and everyone will have to stand before God. But those who trust in Jesus have nothing to fear, because he is the way to God. He is the way to heaven. He has opened up the doors through his death on the cross for us. We've been given a living hope. Let me read to you from 1 Peter and chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Two verses near the end of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Do you know those words for yourself? Do you know that Jesus has secured for you an inheritance that can't perish, spoil or fade? It's there for the asking. It is there for the asking. So on this confusing day, it was confusing for the disciples. Maybe it's confusing for you today. How are you going to respond? What's your verdict? Would you still say denial? No, I don't believe this. Is it confusion like the disciples? Or is it worship and joy? You see, we've been very, very careful this morning to lay out facts. Faith is not a leap in the dark. It's a leap into the light based on the facts. And you can look into them. Truth does not fear the facts. It bears investigation. And so if you're still wondering, can this be true? Is this true? Well, it's your responsibility now to investigate it. And we've got resources here that will help you to do that. Are you willing to face the facts? The Jewish religious leaders weren't. Very sadly, they'd rather make up something that they knew wasn't true rather than believe that Christ was risen. There is nothing in history more certain than the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That is the claim of Christianity. That is what we're saying this morning. That is what the Bible tells us. It says in the Bible, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. There were many witnesses. The Apostle Paul was converted, having tried to stamp out the church in the early days. But he himself was convinced because the Lord Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. You can ask the witnesses, you can interrogate the Bible and find out what it says. Nothing else explains the facts. Nothing else accounts for the glorious hope given to millions who have put their trust in him. So if you're confused this morning, well, so were the disciples, but wait by the empty tomb, as it were. Read the scriptures, listen to the witnesses, consider the evidence. For the disciples, their confusion turned to worship and joy when they met the risen Lord. Sure, there goes the microphone. That woke you up. One more. Okay. It's too important to leave to chance. Now, one of Jesus' disciples really wasn't quick to be convinced, and his name was Thomas. We've got a Tommy here today, haven't we? Thomas did us all a big favour, and this is what we're closing with this morning. John chapter 20 and verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, the words there on the screen, "My Lord and my God." Even doubting, Thomas believed, and Jesus graciously revealed himself to him. And then Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And then John tells us why he writes these words. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I wonder if this Easter Sunday could be a very, very special day for you. Maybe it starts an investigation, or maybe this is the day where you say, "Do you know what? It's all just come into place." But it's not just about knowing the facts, not just even about believing in your head. It's about in your heart saying, "Lord Jesus, if these things are true, then I need to follow you. I need to turn away from living life my way. I need to say, Lord Jesus, come in and reign. By your Holy Spirit, come and reign on the throne room of my heart. I'm going to turn from my old ways. I'm going to turn to you as the way, the truth, and the life." So please, take one of the three books if you want to read it. Please ask if you want to know more. If you want someone to pray with you, if you want someone to talk with you, please ask after the service. Let me pray for us now. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for the children who have helped us with the evidence this morning. Thank you for your word that we've heard, that we've been able to hear and listen to. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that confusing and yet that wonderful day where one by one the disciples realized he's alive, and then they saw him and they worshipped him. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one who is here. We pray that today we might be able to lay down our burdens at the foot of the cross, the empty cross, the empty tomb, because Christ has died and he has risen. And so our hope is not in vain. Please encourage your people this morning, Heavenly Father, wherever they are met, across our city, across our country, across the world, in many different situations. Please bring peace where there is great trouble and strife. Most of all, Heavenly Father, we pray that people today will meet the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, and worship him and trust in him and be saved forever. We ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.